Let us pray. Almighty and ever gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise for the glory of this day. We thank you that it's your day, a holy day, a sacred day, a Sabbath day, a day that you invite each of us into your midst. And Father, as we gather here in this place today, we ask that you would bless us. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. If there are two things that I love to do every day, it is this. You see, both of these things have a lot in common. Both are intellectually stimulating. Both require time and concentration. Both are filled with facts. Both give me a sense of accomplishment. Both can make me laugh. And both can make me cry. And on some days, both can make me feel really smart or really dumb. Both are filled with winners and losers. And the two things that I try to do each and every day is I try to read the Bible and I try to watch Jeopardy. Recently, I was asked a question by a young man in a Bible study that I lead. Is there really a difference between knowing about God and knowing God? He goes on to say, I know God created in 7 days. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And he seems to always get his way. Isn't knowing the facts about God good enough? As I just mentioned to you, one of the TV shows that I watch regularly is the game show Jeopardy. And if you didn't know this, James Holzhauer has moved within $60,000 of breaking the game show's all-time record. After 32 straight victories, he has already won over $2.5 million. And yet I can't help but wonder if he is just really good at trivia. Or does he actually know the truth behind the answers? Growing up in a large family and in a religious household, I was troubled with the idea that we could know God. You see, the way that God was presented to me was as a rigid judge who ruled from his throne in heaven. If you did the right things, you had his favor. But if you were bad, he was then out to get you. God was either pleased with me or he was angry with me. As I look back, I realize that my knowledge of God was second-handed. With the warning to never question, my image of him only got worse. You see, without questioning, I found myself stuck. Filled with tremendous fear and trepidation, I actually walked away. I don't know about you, but does this sound familiar? How many of us have struggled with a secondhand knowledge of God? How many of us have gotten frustrated and simply walked away? Last week, standing in this pulpit, Alex Graham preached a great sermon, and it has been a message that has stuck with me all week. He reminded us that in the circumstances of life, God sees us. Throughout my ministry, this has been questioned. Does God really see me as my child struggles with addiction? Does he see me as my marriage falls apart? As I recover from a loved one's suicide, does he really see me? And the answer, my friends, is a resounding yes. Not only does God see you, but let me take it one step farther. God knows you. He actually knows you and he knows that you exist. How can he not? From the beginning of time, Jesus was God, and he was with God. As the agent of creation, he knows everything about you. Both Matthew and Luke remind us that God knows every hair upon your head. And yet for many of us, it is sometimes so hard to fathom that he actually knows us and that he knows what we are going through. Let's think about the context of today's lesson. Scholars believe it is one of the most important passages in all Scripture. And it is a passage where Jesus himself is completely human. His emotion is real. You see, for him, this is one of the last opportunities he has with those closest to him. It was the eve of his arrest, his trial, and his death. For 3 years, these men have been with him in the trenches. This motley crew gave everything up to follow him. And it was no doubt a risk to them. And one can only imagine what their families and communities thought as they followed this itinerant preacher. Imagine with me for a moment the setting of this scene. Nestled in the darkness and secrecy of the upper room, Jesus gathers his disciples to feed them, to instruct them, and to pray with them. He begins and ends his time as a humble servant, beginning with the feet and ending with the soul. His purpose is to cleanse. He humbly takes his place and he shares his heart. And though his disciples are fearful and filled with uncertainty, Jesus sees them and he knows them. And then affectionately he begins to instruct them. And though the questions are many, Jesus stays the course. What is his purpose in all of this? Well, the author of John tells us that the purpose is knowledge. Now, this knowledge is not a generic knowing, but a deep, abiding, and intimate knowledge, according to the Greek manuscript. Knowledge of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is what was at play. And for Jesus, his desire was clear, that they are known as they are to know. In other words, Jesus wants nothing more than for his followers to know him. And according to him, this is eternal life. In many ways, this is why this passage is so powerful. In the 17th chapter of John, Jesus demonstrates his humility as he models to us prayer. He invites each of them into the most intimate of personal spaces. Because you see, prayer is our form of connecting with God. As Jesus prays, he first prays for himself, then he prays for his disciples, and then he prays for each of us. And what exactly is that prayer that he prays for us? That each of us know God. Not just the facts about God, but Jesus goes deeper. He prays that we know that we are one with him and he with us. Knowing God is what Jesus teaches. He professes that God is in each of us. It is what Paul calls the mystery of God in his letter to the Colossians. The risen Christ in all his resurrected glory lives within us. Imagine, if you will, the significance of this truth. Christ in you. and Christ in me. What Jesus wanted most was that his friends know him as he knew them. He wanted them to know this oneness. By accepting him and following him, they were one with God. I have no doubt that they felt the connection. Or why else did they stay? Have you ever felt that connection with God? That deep, unexplainable presence deep down? Paul did. In his letter to the Philippians, he passionately describes his desire. Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. For some of us today, we struggle with finding that connection. We may have once had it, but now we've lost it. The circumstances of life have gotten in the way, and we are desperate to be known, and we are desperate to know. In many ways, I believe that there are three ways in which each of us can know God. The first way that we can know God is through his word, and Jesus is his word. Jesus was with God in the beginning. He designed us, he formed us, and he created us in their image. Scripture is our primary source of knowing God. It means literally taking our Bible off the shelf, dusting it off, and actually reading it. Reading the words of God, allow those words to teach us about him. I'll never forget being a missionary in Latin America. And for 8 years, our mission was simple. We were called to deliver and teach God's word. Our brothers and sisters wanted to know God, but they didn't have the resources to do so. You see, they didn't have Bibles. And yet when they received their Bibles for the first time, it changed their lives. You see, they actually got to know God by reading about him. The second way that we know God is by knowing ourselves. I love this quote by Socrates, who once said, "The unexamined life is not worth living." In other words, examine your life. Take the time to know yourself. To know yourself is to know God. For over 10 years at Episcopal High School, I led a chapel for over 800 students and faculty every day. And at the end of the service, I would pray these two prayers. I prayed that each student would know who they are and to whom they belong. In many ways, I believe that those are the two most important prayers that we can pray. To ask God who we are and to whom we belong. The third way that we know God is by knowing others. Because you see, the mystery of God is that he is in us and he is in others. Do we see that? Do we take the time to look for God in others? We can certainly know facts about our neighbors, but do we really know the people in our lives? Spending time asking questions, being present, is the best way to know our neighbors. Jesus modeled this with his disciples. When was the last time you spent real, uninterrupted, technology-free time with your spouse, with your child, with your best friend? God did not create us to be islands, but he created us to live together and to know one another. Life at times can be really good. We celebrate our successes and we make known our joys. On the other side of it, life at times can be really hard. We look perfect on the outside, but on the inside, we are falling apart. Some of us come today struggling with the circumstances of life. We feel alone, we feel lost, and we feel overwhelmed. Our ailing parents, our troubled spouse, and our unruly children have gotten the best of us. We are burned out, and we are ready to give up. We not only doubt that God sees us, but for most of us, we are convinced that He doesn't even know that we exist. As one who has struggled over the years with anxiety and depression, I know that feeling firsthand. I've spent many nights clinging to the words of David in the Psalms. There have been times where I think that my only friend is darkness. And yet the truth is that God is there. He sees me and He knows me. What I've learned over the years is that the deeper I dive into intentionally knowing God, my life begins to change. I begin to find myself less anxious. My internal anger becomes less toxic. I become more patient with myself and more patient with others. I find myself less agitated, and I allow the joy and peace of Christ to take hold. These, for me, are the signs of knowing God. As a young boy, I wrestled with many things and had a real hard time imagining that God Himself was good. After all, life was a constant battle. You see, I had trouble with words. Seeing, pronouncing, and placing words challenged me. Years of specialists didn't seem to be paying off. And leaving church one Sunday, my grandmother could see the heaviness in my heart. Taking my hand, she simply asked me, "What was wrong?" "I can't do it," I said. "I can't read. I can't memorize. I can't even pray. Those prayers are just too hard." She responded, "That's not what prayer is. It is not about the prayer book and all those hard to memorize prayers. Prayer is simply about talking to God. He knows you. Just talk to Him like you are talking to me." And it was in that moment that I came to know God. I don't know where any of you are this morning, but I can imagine that some of you are struggling with trusting that God knows you. And my invitation to you this morning is this: God sees you. God knows you. And God loves you. Those are not second-hand truths, but first-handed truths that we learn from His Word. And so today we come. We come into this sacred space to stop, to be seen, to be known, and to be loved. Receive it. It is a gift. It is for you. Amen.